Hello and welcome back to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and I have co-hosts Aylin Rowland.
Hello again.
And Casey McGeorge.
How is it going, everybody?
It's going great. A brand new season of Superstore has started just about 3 weeks after they typically do, so at least we're getting some sort of Superstore this season. It was kind of up in the air there, you know, for a bit. But it's going to be back in next week's episode 100.
Yes.
So it's kind of a big milestone we'll be reaching here for the show. So it's exciting.
I don't know. I'm in a mood right now, and I'm trying to contain everything, but I can't guarantee I will.
Well, I guess let's get into it then. This was episode 99 overall, number one in season six, called Essential, directed by Victor Nelly Jr. and written by Bridget Kyle and Vicky Liu, and it aired October 29th, 2020.
After the coronavirus hits, Amy and Jonah try to bring some order to the chaos in Cloud Nine while being pulled in multiple directions. The employees learn what it means to be considered quote-unquote heroes, while Amy and Jonah's impending move to California looms large. Everybody's initial thoughts.
My initial thought is, if this is how Superstore is going to be this season and without Amy, then this is going to be a really fun season and a really good show. This was much more ensemble heavy. Amy kind of played a little bit of a lesser part, I would say. And even though a lot of it was about her, she was always in the meeting, she was missing a lot. So if this is how it's going to be with them focusing on the rest of the ensemble, I'm here for it. It was very great, very funny for me.
Yeah, no, I really like this episode. I actually think in terms of, you know, season premieres, it's pretty, you know, up there for me.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, it felt very ensemble kind of throwback. I liked everybody's, you know, little what they were doing. All the pairs were great. I especially loved Dina and Glenn, but you know, we'll get more to that. But yeah, I definitely liked the overall episode. And there were a couple things here and there I think that they did, like, I mean, perfectly well with, you know, all of the COVID stuff, which again, we'll get into. But I really liked it.
So as for me, I loved this episode in so many levels. And not only that, I'm just not going to be able to contain myself right now. If everything goes the way it seems, there's going to be a heel turn. This is going to be, as they say in wrestling, there's going to be a heel turn here for me. Because as unbearable as I might be right now, I'm going to be completely unbearable if next week I'm saying, I told you so many months ago, and nobody would listen to me so many months ago.
For listeners that may not have heard, he's referring to, he called back a long time ago when the news happened, right, that America was leaving, that maybe they would break the characters up. So he's saying if that happens next week, me and Aylin said that's not going to happen.
No. Not only
is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I can't tell what you're referring to. Are you referring to Amy and Jonah or just Amy in general?
We will get there.
Okay.
We're going to let it build. It's going to be a slow burn. We're going to get there.
Because I will backtrack a little bit on one part of one of that. The other part, yes, you'll be completely.
So here's the thing. I may have to backtrack next week and I may have to eat an L and I'm fine taking that. But right now, oh, this is so good. It makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. But so let's start off. Jordan, you and I last week talked about, we were concerned how they were going to do the time jumps. We read and heard that there was going to be some time skipping, somewhat Avenger style or whatever. and we were kind of concerned how they were going to do that, right? I think they did it and executed it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the, you know, the initial one, Amy's having the meeting, she's telling everybody about, hey, I just got this job. I'm going to be moving to Florida. If you notice.
California.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. California. If you notice, one, Glenn said he could only hear his blood because he was just in shock from the thought that Amy had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Great little thing. Sandra asked if Jonah was going. Did you guys notice the look on Amy's face?
I noticed the face she made when, like, you know, Marcus is like, oh, no, he's not going. And then she's like waiting for Jonah to say, yeah, I'm going. But
Amy had a concerned look on her face when it was brought up, was Jonah going to go to California with her? I said months ago, that one person was more invested in that relationship than the other one.
It's not over yet, Casey.
It's not over yet, right. Casey.
It's not over yet.
No, wait, I'm confused.
I may have to eat an L next week. And I will take that.
You're already taking your victory lap.
I brought up that, like I said, one person was more invested. As I had a friend explain to me earlier this week with someone she's dating, she said, he's not Mr. Right. He's just Mr. Right now. That may be the picture perfect thing of those two, but we'll get to that.
I was going to say, I have a lot to say in regards to that. Not necessarily, you know, refuting what you're saying, but yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get there. I like how, and I'm sure not all of this happened in the same day. I like how initially, and we talked about this, Jordan, how we were worried how they were going to play out the early days of the pandemic. And they kind of went through it all in the first couple minutes of, mm-hmm. hey, yeah. Dina and her boyfriend were going for a sex vacation, they said.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, she's open and honest about it. Rock on. But the water park they were going to was closed because of the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about this, is this a sex water park or were they just going to do a sex vacation at the water park? Either way, this is gross. But one of them might need to be advertised ahead of time so people going there know what's going on. But anyway, then you had Garrett, who probably would follow with the NBA season being canceled immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when it all hit America at the same time was when America's great man, Tom Hanks, announced that he was positive for COVID-19. And that's mm-hmm. when kind of
how about Rita?
And Rita.
But yeah, that was great too, where of course Mateo,
Diane's face, the way she delivered just, that news, it was so good.
Oh, I so hated Mateo this episode.
You did? He hardly did anything in this episode.
We'll get to him in a little bit as well.
Okay.
I did not see until I read about it and until I saw it that Marcus was going to be the COVID denier in the group.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all that he was the first to get it.
It was so bad he went to the ICU, too.
Yeah.
Jordan and I talked about that. We weren't surprised that he caught COVID. Like, we kind of figured that was going to happen. Or maybe because we saw the preview, we figured, yeah, it sounds about right that Marcus would catch it. I think the biggest thing, though, was the fact that he was just like, no, nothing's going to keep me from spring break. And he was mm-hmm. the denier of the group. Didn't see that one coming.
I mean, the man drives a car without doors, so, and amongst other things, so.
He stomps on his poop in the shower. I mean.
Exactly. I didn't want to say that one, but you did, so.
Come on, he stomps on his poop in the shower. Everybody knows this. This is bad.
Yeah, it's Marcus, so.
The fact that later we find out he was in the ICU, and now he's back at work. Just watching Tiger King?
Yeah, he was so upset, too, that they didn't want to talk about it because it was like, you know, quote, over already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen Tiger King yet, just mainly because.
Me neither.
I haven't either.
Oh, wow. You know, we're probably like the only three people
I think
world.
We are.
We might be. Part of it is because I know I've just been out and working and busy all the time, so I haven't had much time off, but
yeah,
that thing kind of did sweep the country and made people go crazy. For the love of all that's holy, Carole Baskin ended up on Dancing with the Stars,
oh
where
my
she did
God,
a song. She danced to a song called Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah. To be honest, when I found out what it was about, I pretty much then decided to not watch it. When,
yeah, me too.
You know, I was like, no, I'm not sinking to this low, but I'm not that bored.
I might be. It's in my Netflix queue. As long as it doesn't disappear at some point, I'll end up watching it. So one mistake I think that was made, not in the show, Amy saying everybody needed to come to her for everything, and that bit her in the butt big time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's why you have the floor manager and your assistant manager. That was just that hurt.
Yeah, especially when she has those meetings. It's like, yeah. Can't Glenn and Dina handle it?
Well, yeah.
They get paid for that too, so.
Right, like I'm a team lead at my job, so if the manager is not on the floor, I'm usually the one people go to. I'm not sending them to go look for my manager.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Corey wanted to go get off time for the Black Lives Matter protest, right? Great reason, great cause, but does he have to go to the store manager for that? Couldn't he probably maybe start at Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if Glenn says no, then you go to Dean or something.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have to go to the store manager unless it was the last resort. That's just my opinion. Could be wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was obviously just for, like, you know, the effect, of course, that everyone's, you know, bombarding her while she's on the call. You know, and then, of course, at the one time she actually yells at somebody, it's Corey, when she should have just yelled at Justine, who walked over and said her mask fell in the toilet and asked if she could still use it, you know. But
yeah, it was before peeing, right? Yeah. It was just toilet water?
Yeah, but still.
You know who should have been yelled at?
Mateo.
Well, him, but yeah, that's not the person I was thinking of here. Jonah did like no work in the store in this episode. He was just kind of like a lost little puppy dog trailing on Amy for the whole episode.
Well, I mean, that is him in a lot of episodes. And that's who really does work in that store?
Well, some people were doing work and I get that, but he like, this was one, I don't know. Jonah upset me this episode with some things. So at some point they jump to like April, where now we got like the 6-foot rule.
Mm-hmm.
The supplies are getting scarce with the toilet paper and Bo's in the science with his dinosaur mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's what she considers he's into science, yeah. Is that he's eating the mac and cheese.
Dinosaurs.
That is such a great couple.
Yeah.
I think that's where we get the 6 feet nips and tips comment.
Yeah, that was great.
But who should be nips and who should be tips? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cheyenne is covering her nipples while she's trying to get 6 feet. I can't tell you the joy I had from this episode. It was great.
Yeah. And just all the customer stuff.
Well, here's something I thought of too. As you guys know, there was a lot of issues with supplies in the early pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, I think we might have even talked about this a few times on the episodes or just amongst each other. Now, at least when I worked at Walmart, what they were, I forget the term for what they were doing, but it was technically illegal. And I've actually had to write people up for that. Any merchandise that came to the store, like you couldn't hide it in attempts to buy it later,
mm-hmm.
because it was not giving the customers a fair chance to
buy it,
purchase it.
Yeah.
Right.
However, this was years ago, pre-pandemic. I would hope that some of these stores had set up some things for their associates to buy stuff, because by the time a lot of them got off, supplies were gone.
And that
was something
so.
I honestly hadn't even thought of until I just saw the episode and was like, wow, I wonder if people were doing that, or was there some sort of human emotion where it's like, yeah, we'll let you come in early, or we'll let you stay afterwards, or something, you know?
I would hope so. I mean, otherwise what, you know, those people are going to leave their Walmart as their job, go to another store just to try to go buy some, you know, type of a thing, when you can't find it or have any.
The customer interstitials in this episode were fantastic.
They were. They were very good. Oh, they were just, it was exactly what I wanted out of any of the customer interactions, you know, like just knowing even when they wheel out the toilet paper and stuff, which wasn't interstitial, but you know, like any of those, type of things were just really on point with my experiences, during the early parts of the pandemic.
My man Brett was back this episode. I love the scene of him stocking the soup while a woman was taking it literally after he was stocking the shelf.
Right.
One at a time, yeah.
Two, as we moved later to, you know, later in the pandemic, we see Brett with long hair. And part of me said, I'm shocked that Brett is still alive. He's old. Like, we got to look at him. He's up there in age, man. He's in that key.
But he's Brett.
He's
in that key demographic for the coronavirus. But then I thought about it and said, nah, he's not worried about catching the coronavirus. The coronavirus is worried about catching some of Brett. It wants no part of him. So, but I was glad to see him there.
Brett has endured a lot. He has endured a tornado outside, you know, right outside. Yeah, I really liked, like you said, a lot of the customer stuff. Actually, a lot of the time, I thought that's what really shined in this episode, even more than some of the employees. I also really liked, did you guys, you know, probably, of course, saw the robot was back, and it was
Glenn
spraying hand sanitizer or disinfectant of some kind. And that one, you know, employee turned her head, and it went, like, right in her face.
Yes.
Yeah.
The interaction with the Karen in the store was fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I did not laugh at as much, though, because I've just seen so many of those videos that I'm like, this is so accurate that it's kind of cringing.
Yeah. Right now.
Because, you know, it's just, it hits so close.
It's so
to
real.
Home.
It really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
that. It's not as funny. Yeah.
No. It's so true.
If they would have shot that with like a cell phone video, you probably could have put it on YouTube and people wouldn't have realized that it was from
a show. It's on a show. Yeah,
exactly. It's true. And that's part of the issue with it is like not issue, I guess, but when you're doing even like, of course they're going to cover that, right? Because it's what's going on. But when you do that, and most of what she was saying was not exaggerated or crazy enough because those people were so crazy already, that it's hard to top it. So it's hard to take a satirical take on it.
I will say this really quickly about that moment, though, is that I figured there would be something like that, you know, in this episode with a customer, like, not maybe wanting to wear a mask or whatever. But I was wondering who it was going to be, who was going to be in that situation. And it ended up being Glenn, but I thought it was going to be Sandra or maybe Glenn. I only say that because in my mind, I had like already written a scene with Sandra where she was trying to like, you know, tell a customer, but she's such a...
Sandra would roll over.
Yeah, like she's such a pushover though that they would start yelling at her and she'd probably just run away. But, you know, instead, of course, it was Glenn. And then
for me, the best part of this was Glenn... when she says, you work for Satan, and he's like, that's the one person I would never work for.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dina, when she goes to run after her, and she says, ma'am, I'm going to chase you. I'm just waiting for 6 feet.
Yeah.
I thought she said tase.
Oh.
No, she said chase. She said chase.
Yeah, because she said, I'm just waiting for 6 feet, though. To chase
But let's be honest. Would it surprise anybody if Dina tased that woman?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, it's not, Dina. Not at all.
Yeah. Speaking of Dina, I guess, should we talk about Dina and Glenn and their little bit? Maybe. I know it's just a little thing, but them being, you know, very honored that someone is finally considering them to be, you know, heroes.
Heroes.
Yeah.
I think we called this one last week, too, where we said Glenn was going to take it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I the best part about this was actually Glenn, just like the woman asking him where something was, the bottle of water, and he tells her, and he's like, I'm not a hero, though.
And the look on her face when she said that. He was kind of
going overboard there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's like, you're not. Yeah, you're not. It's kind of her thought.
Yeah. Just calm down, dude. I just want to know where the water is, man.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And then speaking of the hero line, because that just also reminds me of when they first mention it. And actually, Garrett, I don't know if you remember, he says, are we still considered heroes if we wouldn't be here if we didn't have to be?
Yes.
Kind of thing. And yeah. I was like, ooh, that is a good line, because I guarantee you that is really actually how a lot of people probably felt. You know, like, yeah, they're there, but they're there because they have to be. They're trying to still make a living. And, you know, thank you so much to the people who are constantly working in those stores, because then we can get our stuff. But I know that they, at the same time, you know, didn't, like, they wouldn't be there if they didn't have to be, you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, because if they could work from home, they would work from home. But their job, they right, can't.
They can't.
And that's, you know, as somebody that used to work in a grocery store as well, you know, mm-hmm. I never wanted to be there.
Pre-pandemic.
Yeah, pre-pandemic. Yeah. I didn't even want to be there. You know, I can't imagine it nowadays. I mean, like, just working on, like, a regular Sunday when, like, everybody's coming in before football comes on.
Yeah.
And how busy it would get. And it's, like, imagining just, you know, or snowstorms. Yeah. We'd have snowstorms here, and people would run and get the toilet paper and the milk and the bread all the time.
Black Friday. I mean...
Yeah, thankfully I never had to work that.
Yeah, but that's still probably even hardly anything compared to the way people were a few months ago in stores.
Right.
I mean, and that went on for months. But yeah, it was pretty cute. I will say too, on a slightly, I mean, it was still funny, but you know, when Dina walks out and finds Glenn in the garden center and they kind of have that little moment where Glenn's just kind of trying to, you know, get away for a few minutes, because you can kind of tell it is getting to him. And I appreciated that scene, because it does just show that, like, you know, again, for those, for him and then, you know, those workers, that it is a pretty stressful, you know, environment to be working in with that.
Right.
And she sat down with him, so that was cute, while he counted the pots.
She already knows how many's up there, too.
Yeah.
According to her.
That's because she's good.
She actually might. That's the sad part. So that may not be too much of an exaggeration. Who here thought Saeed was going to keep his mouth shut?
Oh. Yeah, that's... You mean about the stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked his coffee filter mask,
though. Yeah, that was good.
Hey, you got to make do with what you got.
Yeah, wasn't it? He got in an argument with his wife and she cut all of his masks.
Yeah,
or something?
Is that what he said? Yeah.
If she's trying to kill you, dude, you need to run.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. And then that led to that montage of them coming up with, like, makeshift PPE and making their own hand sanitizer out of alcohol and all that.
Yeah, when Amy just... cuts the head off of the stuffed bear to get the bandana. Yeah. And Jonah's like, you could have just untied it. It was very kind of psychotic.
It was. Even in that moment, when I was like, what is she doing? It was just so...
That's what I thought, too.
Random and harsh.
It was, but it was nowhere near as psychotic as, oh, I don't know, Mateo deciding to pluck eyeballs out of the damn
ones. Oh, I know. Oh, that's why you hate him. Gotcha. I forgot about that.
Just the whole, he connected her to the CEO, and just when she asked him earlier in the episode, like, hey, have they got back to us about, you know, the pandemic rules? And he was just like, you know, then he decided to be sarcastic there. Like, come on, dude. Like, this may not be the time for that.
Oh, okay. Still, that's pretty mild, Mateo.
Yeah, I think you're reaching a lot here in that episode.
Casey's always overreaching for Mateo hate.
I'm not overreaching. Like, imagine if you had to work with him.
I am him, I think, with some of the sarcasm.
Imagine if you had to work with that person.
Well, thankfully I don't, but I see your point.
Where he was always trying to outdo you on something. He was always trying to make himself the best. It's like,
yeah,
that would be that.
Now that part of it would honestly be more annoying than the sarcasm. I can handle sarcasm.
Isn't it funny, though, that, like, he's completely changed? Like, I feel like he's more of a lazy character now than an overachieving one like he was when the show first started. I don't know if it's the Cheyenne influence
probably.
In him, where he's a little bit more, like, on the lazy side. He doesn't want to do work. But, like, when he first got hired with Jonah,
oh my God.
It was, like, yeah. Always a competition with Jonah.
Yeah. Good old days. Now they're all lazy.
Yeah, it's Cloud Nine. What else happens in this episode?
Let's see. Who else are we covering here?
Well, I guess Sandra and Cheyenne with their hiding everything. It starts as just toilet paper,
mm-hmm. and then mac and cheese
blossoms, and the mac and cheese yeah. for Bo, and then it blossoms into everybody bringing them stuff.
Well, it moves to Saeed. Saeed had to add stuff because yep. Sandra wasn't looking the right way. And then next thing you know, yeah, now they're giving Marcus an order for him to put up there. Like, there's
but,
no
you know,
better place. Like, that's kind of hard to hide when you have to yeah. take a scissor lift out and get a safety operator and someone to, like, block off an area for you to go put stuff up in the ceiling. Like,
in the ceiling, yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is I started to realize when they were reading the list or whatever, that a lot of those items were not particularly things that were, I don't know, going to be that scarce. I mean, it just, a lot of it seemed like pretty random stuff. So it yeah. just almost, it almost just became like a, hey, storage kind of thing, even though you could actually buy it later without probably a problem.
Especially later in the pandemic too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have toilet paper here all the time now over where I live. I don't know about you guys, but.
it's still kind of touch and go, actually, with
really?
Having paper towels here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think here it might be starting to pick back up on it, but I only get to really go once a week now, so I just kind of grab what I need when I go. But
I mean, I know you guys live in, like, bigger areas, but.
Yeah, they were adding, what were they adding? Like tuna fish, and they added another one for Janet because she was black or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she needs it, yeah. right? Yeah, she.
Yeah, because what does Cheyenne say? Because of right now, you know, racism.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, they were a good little duo, like, for that storyline.
Well, How about Cloud Nine sending the "We
oh,
believe
yeah.
in our black employees"?
And Garrett's line. What are we
ghosts?
Actually, now that I think about it, I think that might have been the thing I laughed at the hardest in that episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
We believe. Yeah.
Well, okay. So speaking of that. I forgot about Isaac. The character of Isaac does seem like the kind of person who would have been on the other side of the argument when it came to the Black Lives protests. He kind of fit that one pretty well.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I was trying to think of that one other bigger, like, bald guy. I don't even know if he had a name, but he was... I just remember in the break room... toward the end of last season, he was getting in, like, a hot debate with somebody about something. But I can't think of who, if he has a name.
I think I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, like, he came off really kind of, like, arrogant. I'll have to look him up.
Okay, here's another issue I had with Jonah in this episode, right? And this is another reason why I think this whole thing is kind of doomed. So we did call it last week as well, where Jonah... We figured Jonah would be the kind of person who'd be reading just a bunch of everything about where and how the virus starts and came from. And, like,
mm-hmm.
I think we can kind of
yeah.
see that one. That's just Jonah.
Yeah.
Here's where I think it's doomed with the two of them. They're on complete opposite sides of a spectrum in a way. So Amy is now going to work for a mega corporation in, what is the name of the her parent Zephyr. Company now? Zephyr, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he can't speak. Everyone is entitled. That's why we have free speech. But you can't be living with and dating someone who works for that company and then still on such an anti-big corporation kick. Like, you got to know where your bread is buttered, dude. You are kind of just listless. You lucked upon a job in the first place. You have probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in school debt. Meanwhile, you're fortunate enough to have a very attractive woman who loves you, who you're living with, who's making well over $100,000 a year. And you're going to go and knock the company that is allowing this to happen?
I disagree, though. I mean, in the sense of, like you said, he has the right to his opinion. And the opinion is that Zephyr wasn't doing enough to help them with anything. They're sending the signs that just say, we believe in our black employees. They still hadn't gotten PPE. They still hadn't gotten anything more than just loose veiled guidelines. I can totally see where he's coming from in that regard, because it makes you feel like, yes, the corporation doesn't care about me. The corporation, as we saw when they're talking to Amy, is talking about how great Cloud9's doing off of making their money, but it's at the expense of these employees who are going through a really tough time with Glenn and Dina, who have to hide because of all the stuff that's going on, and they still haven't gotten proper materials. Jonah's totally right in this.
I was just going to say that. And yeah, thank you. You mentioned that part, because I was going to say, well, I don't know how you guys felt about that Zoom call that Amy was in with, where I can't remember her name, but you know, the girl who she starts to ask. What?
The girl that was saying everybody was slaying everything?
Yeah, slaying. Yeah. Yeah, she has a name. I can't remember it. But Amy started talking about, you know, well, we're not actually doing that great. Like, sales are, but morale isn't. And you guys haven't helped us with, like, PPE. I mean, she didn't say it like that, but she kind of did. And then, I mean, I definitely didn't think, I mean, she obviously wasn't freezing. I think the lady was just pretending like she was, and she just didn't know what to say, and she came up with something and like said that, but it remains to be seen if they're actually going to come through with the materials that she said.
That's interesting.
Did you guys think that?
Because I don't believe she was freezing. I think she was using it as an excuse.
I could see it both ways. I could see it both ways, and I was very frustrated with the writing, in the sense of, if they were seriously going for her having computer issues all the time, because they did mention it before. I think that's why she was out on the floor with it.
Yeah.
So if it really is an issue, I feel like that's a cop-out, because Amy could have just said the same thing over again. I get when you're frustrated and you're losing connection, you sometimes shorten it up, but it's a big deal. What you were saying was a big deal for your company. And I don't know if she's just going to give up that easily once she has to say it a second time. I don't know if she's going to be great at a liaison for Zephra. But what I was going to get into, that was just me.
I don't know if I was crazy or not, but that's totally the vibe I got. I did not think, like, I know Amy had been having computer issues, but I actually thought in that moment, and maybe it was just the way the girl was looking too. I mean, she had the funniest, I mean, look on her face. I mean,
it's not clear, but I personally think
that she heard her and was trying to pretend like she didn't hear her. And I actually kind of think something's kind of like just up with that. It's just what you were saying, Jordan, like Jonah says that, but, you know, I hate to be, you know, a lot of those higher ups with those companies, they don't know what it's actually like in those stores. And they're just saying like these, yeah, it's going great, but they don't actually care.
They're just seeing the sale numbers.
You know, and I don't know. That's whole my sort of theory. And, you know, so wheeling it back to your Jonah thing, I just kind of thought, like, Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely not for corporate, but Amy isn't either. And yet she's just working there because it's a, quote, good job. I don't actually think Amy wants to work for a place like that. She's just seeing...
Yeah, I mean, Amy used to rail on that's them what I'm all saying. The time
and I, that's when why she was a floor... I think she and Jonah are the same. It's just that, and I'm maybe kind of saying, I don't mean this to sound in a bad way to Amy, but I kind of indirectly is. I just think that she realized, like, it's a good job. She's going to be making, like, a lot of money. I don't think she... Yeah, she
out.
Really...
Right.
I mean, I still like her, but I don't like, you know... That's what I think, though. I don't think she actually wants to work for them, but... That's where we are. So, what are we moving on to next?
Yeah, what else happened? Well, we had the stuff fall down from the ceiling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We had... they put way too much up there.
Collapsed.
And it finally gave. And we had... What else? Well, we had the kind of build up there with Amy, where she just kind of, over time... kept getting pulled into more and more Zoom calls that were not Zoom calls. Whatever they're, I think it was Zephra calls or whatever they're called. I forget what they actually called them, but we had them just increasing and we kind of had the transition right to Glenn being manager. Do we think that he stays manager after all of this? You know, he was kind of hiding out. Does he stay manager going forward? Or I think that's the easiest solution.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be able to handle it.
I don't know. I'm kind of like torn on that. I do in a way want to see Glenn as manager again. But at the same time, I have my sort of guesses and theories on who's going to like shift. But I don't know if we're going to want to talk about that more at the end of this. I don't know.
What is he doing having a dream of Topher Grace?
That was random. That was a very random choice. Oh.
Wait, you don't?
Why is he having he said the guy from That 70s Show was beating him up or something? Like, what the hell is going
on? Yeah, I think that's, yeah. Well, clearly he was watching That 70s Show or something.
I have that recurring dream every night.
If anybody from That 70s Show is going to start beating on someone, it's going to be Red Foreman, not Topher Grace.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so let's get into this because we've kind of moved all the way up until this.
It's built up.
So Amy finally gets word that the move to California is going to happen. They're opening the offices back up and she's going to start and just be out there. She immediately jumps to she's moving to California, not they. And she does not look pleased at the end of the episode. What say you?
I don't know what that face was. I can't read what her... It didn't look sad. It didn't look happy. It didn't look... I don't know. I mean, especially looking at photos from next week, which we're not going to talk about, I don't think. But I still have no idea how this is going to go. I think that they're setting it up to be some drama there, but I'm really thinking it's going to go the other way and there's not going to be as much drama. I really don't know. I can't read America's expression there and figure out what it's supposed to mean. I know, Casey, your thoughts are probably that she wants to break up with them, but we've seen none of that at all during this time. I know they haven't spent much time together, as Jonah mentioned, but it seemed very... And I know, Aylin, you tweeted about this, about how her mind went right to when he was saying that she's been a bad mother, a bad...
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend, but that's not what
he was
referring to.
Yeah, and by the way, real quick, I have to say, I love that they had him say that, because any other, you know... It could have gone that way, but he said, no, that's not what I mean, you know, by saying that.
Yeah, I really don't know. I really don't know how to read her expression here. I mean, when we play it back and we think about it, right? Yeah, her mind jumps to that she's moving. He's like, oh, so we're going. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of like, yeah. And then, like, they hug and she kind of gives this weird expression. But I'm not really sure what she's supposed to be getting at here. Aelin, what is your thoughts on what she is, what that expression means? Because I can't read it.
I have my, okay, let me, I think I'm ready with this. There's so...
Because they haven't had a fight or blow up or anything to our knowledge. So that's why I'm like, I'm not really sure where she's coming from.
All right, so I have two parts of this, but I'm going to summarize them because I could talk way too much about this. But the main things. Okay, so to backtrack just a little bit, when Amy told Jonah about the California job and all of that, that's been, if we're again assuming the show has jumped this much, then that's that many months ago since they did time jump in this episode since March till now. You know what I mean? So as like Sandra even asked her earlier, when are you two lovebirds moving out to California? There has definitely been more time there that they didn't go than obviously Amy was anticipating. You know, she was back when we actually saw the season finale, which wasn't the real season finale. But anyway, you know, it was her thinking that she was going to be going soon. And then when he said, yeah, I'm coming with you, then we're going. So anyway, we're jumping this many months later. COVID's going on, but as they told her, they're ready to move her out there now. And then, yes, I will say, when she just says, I'm going to California, I cringe so hard because I was like, girl, why are you saying I? Why are you saying I? But anyway, I think regarding the look, Jordan, you know, that you're talking about at the end, like, what is that? I watched the episode again right before we jumped on here. And like, I kind of froze it there. But in my mind, I think that given the time, you know, where she's been waiting, I think that she is conflicted. And I think there's actually a lot of fear there that she's only just now starting to actually think about. Because when Jonah said, we're going, I think it's in that moment, like hitting her that he's willing to take that leap with her and like commit, even though, again, they're not engaged or married. But obviously he's moving across the country with you to help raise your children. I'm assuming, obviously, Emma is going, Parker, you know. And I just think that that's a weird face of like, it's not so much like you said, it's like nothing has happened preceding this for us to think she wants to break up with him. You know what I mean? I think this is more fear and definitely just confusion. If anything, like you were asking what the word was, and my main two thoughts were confusion and fear. And it's just that she's just now really actually taking that in and dealing with it. Because, you know, Casey, as you said and have said before, you think it's more one-sided. And I do agree with you in the sense of Jonah's much more like just in terms of the vibe, right? You can tell how much he like cares for Amy. Amy is not quite so, whatever adjective you want to put there, she's not quite so like forthcoming with her emotions all the time, you know, with how she feels about things or him specifically. I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but I actually just, that's what I think her face is. I think she's confused. I think she's kind of scared. Also, here's another really big component, and then I'll let you throw the rest of that in there. I think, we have to remember too, Amy has only been with and then married to Adam, right, for a very long time.
Yeah.
So then also, you know, you're just thinking about the thing of like when Jonah says, oh, my God, you're going to have just one job. And then we finally get to start our lives together. I think it's also that statement right there that really like kind of got her wheels turning about like, what does that really mean? You know, like obviously he wants that. But like, and I do very much think she wants it, too. But I think she needs to be vocal to him about what that is, you know, on her side, You know, like, does she see them getting engaged or married somewhat soon? Obviously, you know, I think Jonah does down the line, but, you know, she's only been with, like, one person for so long, and it's not a great comparison, I know, but I think it's just a lot of commitment and fear, and yeah, I think it's more of that than this active thing in her head of, oh my God, I'm moving, I need to break up with Jonah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I will say, I have two things. One, I refer you guys, the two of you, the listeners, unfortunately, I wasn't able to do this with you guys, to the text I sent you after California Part 1 last year, where they stated the initial plan was Amy was going to confront Jonah about his rash decision to move with her. We'll hold off on that. So I'm reading a Yahoo Entertainment article from Jonah. Quote, this is incredible. You finally get to have one job. We get to start our lives together. It's like real. End quote. He then goes in for the hug, making it impossible for him to see the panic. I think that's the word you were looking for, Aileen. Panic.
Panic, yeah. No, that's a good word.
Across his girlfriend's face. From co-showrunner Gabe Miller telling TV Line, what we're seeing in that moment is that maybe there's a lot of stuff that Amy has been putting off thinking about. Because mm-hmm. the move has been delayed so long, now yep. that it's real, she's realizing there are some things that she needs to confront. There's really only one thing to confront with the move.
Yeah, but
it's whether or not he is whether or not their relationship needs to continue or he's going to be part of her life. There's nothing else to confront.
No, I know.
Unless they're talking about something with like Adam and the children.
Right. But they can make anything a confrontation yeah, now.
But I totally get what you're saying, because I very much like and agree with like everything that the, who was that, Gabe Miller that you're saying?
Yes, the co-showrunner. Yeah.
Right. And I read that too. And I was like, yeah, of course, that makes sense. But the confront thing, like, I think it's just you and I read into that word very differently. Like, you automatically think like confrontation just means it's going to lead to a breakup. Whereas I very much think they need to talk. Absolutely. And Amy needs to confront right, her feelings and also Jonah at the same time. But I don't necessarily think that means that they're going to break up.
And it's, I agree, you know what with I mean? You on a lot of aspects. What I'm also saying is that if she doesn't believe, so there's always a wild card.
Are you just talking about maybe, because she has doubt? Is that most of what you mean?
There's always a wild card here, and maybe... What's his name? Ben Feldman is actually leaving the show, and they just haven't told us. We won't find out till next week.
Please praise God. I don't want
to. That's always a possibility.
No, they would tell us. They would have told
okay,
us.
Okay, so if he's staying on the show and she's not, they have to figure out how to make that work, right? So my thought is she needs to be honest with herself. Like mm-hmm. you said, does she see herself marrying this man?
Mm-hmm.
If not, why continue to drag this along?
Right.
As I brought up before, my friend with someone she's with right now stated he's not Mr. Right, he's just Mr. Right now.
Yeah, so why is she with him?
Well,
because
obviously.
There are some people who are just serial relationship people. They don't like being alone. So like Aileen said, she was with Adam since high school,
yeah.
right? They're married, they have kids together, she gets divorced. She tries to jump into the dating world. She tries with the soda vendor.
Soda guy.
Right? And yeah. then she tries with Tate. Doesn't really work. You know, look, she does have a connection with Jonah. I understand that. We can see that. But at the same time, some people just don't like to be alone. It doesn't mean they see them spending the rest of their lives with that person. But it's scarier. It's better to have someone there. Remember going back to the Golden Globes party? There were issues like she because Adam had done so much around the house, she was lost in her own home.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you're talking about the like technical stuff he would take care of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I brought up that's something that really happens when two people live together. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I went through my divorce, like there are things like that happen where you're so used to someone taking care of certain aspects or doing certain things.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden that's gone. It can make everything daunting because you don't necessarily know passwords. You always just depend on that other person to take care of it. But now you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying she's using Jonah. That's not what I'm getting at all. But she, I believe, in my thought, she likes the idea of having the connection with someone, having someone around. But now she's realizing she doesn't see herself marrying this person or spending the rest of her life with this person. That, to me, that is more daunting than anything else. Because now she has to realize, do I continue and have him come out to California with me mm-hmm. and end up in a situation like she did with Adam, where eventually she realizes she's not happy. And this dude moved all the way around the country for her. So now she might mm-hmm. feel she has a sense of obligation, like she has to try and continue this. Or does she try and rip this band off as quick as this, rip this band-aid off as quick as possible? Because otherwise, it's just going to delay the inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's why I always said, like, we've seen that Jonah seems more interested and invested in this relationship than Amy does. And I just believe that they're not a good fit in that aspect. And eventually, it's going to come crumbling down.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see, I totally do see, like, your points in terms of the, does she want to, you know, as you said, like rip the Band-Aid off now or, you know, after she confronts how she feels. The one thing, though, sort of within that, that I was thinking of while you were saying that is, yeah, like, right, Jonah's moving all the way out there with her. I also kind of actually think, and I don't want to like, but it's kind of like this is veering into semi-predictions. But anyway, I actually kind of think and could totally see Amy like maybe at the beginning of next week's episode saying something like when that conversation happens, because it's definitely going to happen, her saying maybe like, I am afraid of like, you know, you coming out there and maybe not necessarily being able to find like, you know, what he's going to be doing there. She also doesn't want to, I like, it's kind of like you said, I almost think she might not break up with him, but she might start saying like, I just don't know, like, you know, what are your, like, what's your plan? You know what I mean? I think she's going to kind of be like trying to feel him out because she's still, I think, very much in denial sometimes of how much she cares for him. I actually do think that she, Amy's, you know, an interesting character in that sense. You know, I think sometimes she needs almost other people to point things out for her, which, you know, you have to.
Here's a thought. They get out to California, right? And this is a completely hypothetical situation. And we know mm-hmm. Jonah is on the side against big corporations and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the woman he loves is working for a mega conglomerate corporation. What happens if there's some sort of protest or whatever, yeah. and he's on the protest line against, like, it? Okay, so now he's got a choice. Does he want to go on the protest line against his corporation? Because, once again, that's how his wife and his family is making their money, or his girlfriend and his family is making their money. And at mm-hmm. some point, if he does, at some point, that's probably going to come back to bite her in the butt. Like, that's, I think there are other things to think, and I know that's way out there, mm-hmm. right? But those yeah. are realistic things that could happen in that scenario. It'd be like, you know, I was in the military for 17 years. Okay. I was in Army and I shot and commanded tanks and I went to Iraq 3 times, including when we invaded in 2003. Right. It'd be almost like if I was involved and married a pacifist. Meanwhile, the job I have and I'm going off to war, mm-hmm. like those two things can't really mesh together. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not compatible in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because like, if we go back to California Part One, remember, Dina even had to tell him, like, if you're not supporting her, then what good are you?
Yeah. Which led to him deciding to, you know, say, I'm with you, you know, I'll go with
Maybe
you
as the people who made the show said, making the rash decision to do that with her. That came from that.
But it can't be a rash decision now. Yeah. It's been months. It's been like, yeah, exactly. You know, six right. months now. It's no longer a rash decision.
Yeah.
He's been
planning.
saying numerous times, right. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. And if she doesn't take that up front with him, and if she doesn't want him to move there, then she should have already have said that instead of 8 months
later.
Well,
and that's where we get into the thing of what you mentioned in that article. It's this, that it's this time thing, right? That she's had extra time because of COVID and what's been happening that she hasn't moved. But because of that, as a bad thing, she hasn't actually had time to mentally think about what that means for her, for Jonah, their relationship, the kids, like, I mean, all of it, you know. But especially Jonah, because he's just choosing to go with her. So as you said, when they have that talk, it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling, I'm fully expecting some maybe hurtful words even from both parties, but I still don't think it's going to go the way you think it's going to go.
What I can see happening is maybe they do split up or whatever, but, and we'll get into this portion when Jordan does the ratings here in a little bit. I think this is the last season, and I could see her coming back later to talk about how she made a mistake and he's the love of her life and everything else. And they still end up back together in the final episode or last couple episodes.
Yeah. I would say that I would be more inclined to see that on a different show. To me, that feels a little like cheesy. And to me, Superstore has never been too overly cheesy in terms of like love. And relationships. At least I don't think it has.
The dude put stars on the ceiling of the store for you. Saying there's no cheesy in this
that
series?
That was the pilot.
there hasn't been a lot of cheesy with this relationship.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's been.
That's what I was trying
shows,
to say. I know like the pilot, but they had to do it in the pilot to hook you for the ship. Then they got you, and then they said, no, sorry, we're not that cheesy.
So it got a 0.6 in the 18-49 demographic and viewers in millions, 2.80 viewers in millions. So what you're saying, because it's a little lower than typical, that it's going to be the last season? Well, okay, so here's what Variety says about it right here. So this is all you need to know right here. The season 6 premiere delivered a 0.6 rating and 2.8 million viewers, although that's down a touch from season 5, it's hardly clean up in aisle 12 for NBC, given both that the previous season premiere drew 2.9 million viewers and that Superstore is a strong performer in digital viewing. And then it talks about later on, connecting came in very low. And then it says, unsurprisingly, Thursday Night Football between Falcons and Panthers dominated. And it was actually up even against the Giants and the Eagles, which are two of those national teams you're talking about. It actually did better than those games against, even though the Giants and Eagles are as bad as
those are some garbage
Atlanta
teams.
And Panthers.
Those are really garbage teams.
I love listening to you guys talk about sports. Garbage teams.
And this goes back to where I thought it could be. What I said last year was like, if they keep it, I could see them moving it to Peacock.
No, they won't do that either. Not enough people watch
Peacock. I was just
going to
ask you that. How's that going? Do you guys have that?
But if they're getting most of their stuff from digital viewership, why not go all in on the digital viewership?
Because they're getting the digital viewership not just on Peacock, they're getting it on Hulu as well.
That's how I watch it.
So if you cut off some of Hulu and it's just on Peacock, then the ratings are going to go down, and you're not selling ad space on TV. And your ad sales on TV on Thursday night are going to go down low. So the thing is, right now, with putting it on Thursday nights and putting it digitally, they're getting the ads on Hulu, they're getting the ads on Peacock, and they're getting their TV ads on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, which is a prime TV viewing time. I don't know. TV ratings are kind of my thing. I love these things so much, and I've been following them since probably Arrested Development when it was first on. So I feel very comfortable with my assessment that they're going to be okay.
Got the stats, Jordan.
We shall see.
next week is California Part 2. Let me tell you, won't this be confusing for new viewers like years from now when they get to California Part 1 and then they get a random episode
it's
and then California
Part 2? It's kind of like, what was the between the seasons where everyone thought the Olympics episode was like the beginning of the next season? And they're like, why is Cheyenne pregnant again? And I was like, oh my God, if I see this on one more message board, I'm going to scream. Because it was just a poorly placed episode because they didn't know, like, it was kind of its own one-off thing. And
They filmed it ahead of time, I think, and then they just waited until the Olympics.
Which is a shame because it's not it's a pretty cute episode, but it was so confusing for people who had just seen.
I wish they would just fix it and put it in the right spot now, you know, like
before Cheyenne gives birth. I think they still air it out of order.
It's like season 2, episode 0 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, weird. Just put it right before the finale for us now, you know, like it's so, I wonder how many people are going to skip the premiere of this and be like, well, I guess I got to get to California Part 2. This is weird. And that premieres November 5th. At 8 o'clock, as the Cloud Nine employees prepared to send Amy and Jonah off, Mateo and Glenn attempt to organize a video tribute, and Dina searches for a new best friend. So at this point, Jonah's still going with her. We'll see what happens.
Like I said, there's always the wild card that he's leaving the show to.
I don't think they can do that. The reason why is contracts and stuff. He's announced as a main character.
He's on the poster.
For the season. They would have had to announce. Yeah, they would have had to announce that ahead of time.
Then our options are starting to become very limited. Unless he disappears for an episode or two and then comes back.
Hey, I think I said I think I said it sometime last season toward the end on a crazy hypothetical, but somehow in my mind, I still think something crazy is going to happen. Amy's not even going to go. And she's just, for some reason, not going to work at the store either. And she's just going to be there. But she's not in the store.
And you know what? I can kind of see that with how that woman was with the PPE thing. Like,
that's
if she really was just saying, I can't hear you, but she could. Like, that, I could see that becoming something. Because it did seem like an odd thing. And the fact,
am I just crazy, or did you think that too? Was that just me? I thought
both ways. I was like, is she acting like she didn't hear it? But then I remembered about her having computer issues before, so I don't know what the intent was, and I don't know if we'll ever know until maybe this.
I need to know.
I'm 100% behind the fact that she was like, why are you saying this in front of my coworkers here? And was trying to act like.
Yeah. Okay. No, it wasn't
was just you.
Okay.
I got the same vibe. Because it's, and I've heard that people actually do that.
It was
that
just
people
weird.
People actually do that a lot with some of these Zoom calls that people have, because of technology, they can find ways to throw a picture up or whatever. And next thing you know, it looks like, oh, I was I was having technical issues.
Right.
Sorry, Casey, I didn't hear any of that.
Exactly.
All I'm going to say is if things don't work out,
don't let me
be right next week, because I will come out in full heel mode.
Still don't know what that means.
It just means like a heel turn, I think, is when they go from good to bad.
A good guy being a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you win exactly, other than being right, if that happens? Just the satisfaction of being able to see, Aylin, your samosa heart is broken.
The day I die. I will come out with theme music that either we might have to cut out of the podcast, or David, DJ, might have to pay someone because I already have the theme music picked out. Like, this is going to be bananas if it goes down this line. And otherwise, if it doesn't and I have to eat an L, I'm just going to sit back and let all the hate come on me, because I will 100% deserve it.
Oh,
we're not going to hate on you.
Oh, no. See, I am a very different breed. I will be happy within my samosa heart that does not happen, but you will not. I will tell you right now, you will not be told from my lips that, like, I was right. But
Samosa is over.
We shall see. We should do Golden Vest,
yes,
right?
Yes, Golden Vest. Yeah. Geez, I guess I'll go first. I was trying to think of this all day, and I could not really think of one. All right, go ahead. Yeah,
the producers and writers, because handling the pandemic and the time skips and the key moments in the pandemic and everything else that they had to convey in a 23-minute period to go from March until
the
now.
Time.
And everyone was concerned about how they could pull it off and what would it look like. The writers and the producer and the director did such a fantastic job of condensing the last 8 months of horror that this country has dealt with into 23 minutes.
It made us laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I'll second you. I'll second that, Casey, because as somebody that thought we were kind of hitting a rut in season 5, I feel like this episode reinvigorated me and how I felt about the show, because like I said at the opening, if this is how it's going to be with these consistent laughs and such, even when America leaves, then sign me up. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'll third you on that with the side note of I did really like the little sort of duo of Glenn and Dina with just the hero whole, you know, the whole hero thing. Because I thought that they paired up well for that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. One thing we didn't talk about, Sandra, Jesus, her bus driver is peeking in on her like when she wakes up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, when she's sleeping.
what the hell, man?
My God.
This woman has the most...
But she's sure that's not real, right?
Did you see the look on everybody's face when she said that?
Jonah's face, man. Oh, yeah.
This woman has like the most tragic life. And who's the other dude? I know Jerry. Who's the other guy she's talking about?
He's talking about that teenager
adopted. Yeah. A teenager. Sweet Jesus.
The foster.
Yeah.
The foster. Tony. Yeah, yeah, they're fostering him. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I did too for a second.
That's right, because remember I said he looked like he could be dating her. Like.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's old enough.
I think the dude had like a full beard or something, man. What the hell?
No, he had long hair.
He might have had a little rat mustache, but oh my God, I completely forgot about that from season 5. Yeah. They have a teenager living in the house. Jesus. And her bus driver's like standing over her in the middle of the night.
The more we learn about Sandra, the more worried I am for her and her situations.
Yeah, well, we definitely know that next week she will not probably be on the list for Dina.
I don't think she'll even get an interview for that position. I think her resume is going straight in the trash.
Do we think Dina's looking for somebody in the store, or is she going outside? Like, is she looking for a coworker that's a friend of hers, or is she looking for somebody just brand new? So.
That's a good question. I don't think it'll be Justine.
Because I think she wouldn't want any of the store people, is how I see her being like, none of these people are going to...
Remember Mateo's remark of Justine, how they probably should have sent her home and also don't invite her to the beer drinking afterwards? Do we have to deal with Justine's drunk voice?
Yeah,
I love that even when Justine is not actually there in a scene, that she is probably the most referenced side person lately in terms of what the dumb things that she says and does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't like her so much. They even mention her when she's not around, like, please don't tell Justine about this.
Yeah.
And why is she tonguing her mask? Jesus.
And just for everybody, if you guys like Justine and you haven't listened to our interview with Kelly Schumann, you can find it on our feed. We interviewed her last year. She was really She's really a great interview. And over the COVID break, we interviewed Amir Kurangi. We interviewed Danny Gura and Colton Dunn. So had some great cast interviews if anybody is interested in checking those out. If this is your first time, if this is your first time listening to our show, if you just found us, yes, we've had some good interviews there. If you're looking to follow us on Twitter, it's at TBR Podcast. You can let us know what your thoughts were on the episode, which way you think this is going to go. Are you Team Casey, Team Avelyn? Let us know. Instagram at TBR Podcast, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore, or email us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com.
Send the hate my way if you want to. That is absolutely fine. But I'm just going to put it out there again.
I totally recommend waiting until you see what happens before you send the hate Casey's way, because he will just feed off of it if he's right.
Do not let me be right.
There's no third option, Jordan. There's not a Team Jordan. We're just all
Team Jordan is Kelly comes back. And
oh, what the hell, no. No. And I swear, if they, on top of breaking them up, bring Kelly back, I'm going to stop watching.
I'm rooting for maximum chaos now. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
I joke, but I don't know.
We'd find out. We'd have like a somber opening to continued. The podcast. Like, well, Aylin's actually done now.
Oh, no, you can't disappear. You have to, have to show up and take that L if it comes.
That's only if it's only if Kelly comes in. I think that she would decide to stop it. Yeah, so I guess that's it. We will catch you all next time after California Part 2, where we will break down how Amy leaves.
So much.
Jonah and Amy. Whatever goes on there, we'll break it all down for you next week, and we'll catch you all next time.
The one thing I got is it's supposed to be a tearjerker.
Yes, that was said.
Yes,
but
lots. Ben said
I did watch a preview. There
scenes.
Is a preview up as well.
There is?
Yes, I did see a preview on YouTube.
All right, you're going to need to send that to me.